a real encouragement, and he has been a real encouragement personally to me, and I'm sure he's been a real encouragement to each one of us today. So why don't we just get our hands together and give Ken a big welcome as he brings the word of God.
Good afternoon, everybody. Right. I've been threatened before I even got up here. If you can't hear me, somebody's going to wave the pen at me. So, I'm notorious for people not being able to hear my voice. So if you can't hear at all, just point out. Okay, so praise God. I want to talk today... Closer... Are we there? Is that better?
Yes.
Right. Very good. Very good. Really need you to hear me today. Because I'm going to talk about the Spirit today. It's been on my heart for some time, and I've been looking and searching and trying to get my own understanding on things. Now, if you've got a Bible that is a one where it shows capital letters when it's referring to God, when it says His, it's a capital letter. Well, the word Spirit sometimes has capital letters and sometimes has a small s as a starter. And I want to talk about Spirit with a small s. Is that ringing a bit? Sounds a bit. Right, because we are spiritual people. We are spiritual individuals, and it's important that we identify with that, because it's the Spirit that we have the communication, that the connection with the Lord. That's how we connect in that realm, because we are body, soul, and spirit.
Amen.
And it says in the Word of God that God is Spirit. So for God to connect with us, He's going to connect through our spirit.
Amen.
He says He's put His Spirit inside us, so the connection is close.
Yeah.
There's no time lag. It's immediate. Our connection with God is always straight away.
Amen.
So we've got to understand who we are. Now, I was trying to sort of find some visual way of showing this, and the only thing I could come up with, near and dear, can you just come out? I just want to show you something. It's all right, don't look afraid, you're all right. Just stand in front here. Right. This is you and me now. Body, soul, and spirit.
Yeah.
They're not things. Me, right? They're not things. Don't think the spirit is a thing. My body is me. My soul is me. My spirit is me.
Yeah.
Right? And what happens? God talks to our spirit. Talks to us through our spirit. That's God's connection. Now, things have happened that's changed that. The word to do with soul that I came up with, and I found it's not in the dictionary for some reason, is soulish. Right? We live our lives sometimes soulish, in the soul. What's happening to us, our appetites, our desires, our thoughts, are often in the soulish area. When God came and brought us to Himself, the priorities were, He talks to our spirit. Our spirit talks to our soul. Our soul talks to the body. So, the spirit first, then the soul, and the soul tells the body. What's happened when things went wrong was The soul took charge. The soul is what we listen to and what dictates things. And quite often, the soul is cut off from the spirit. Sometimes, the spirit, the spiritual side of us, looks for other connections other than God's. Because whenever the spirit's not connected, there's a void. The spirit is made for contact. That's our contact point with God. But sometimes it goes astray. Now, I found a couple of references from people that we know are men of God, and I'm going to share them in a minute. But let me just quote one scripture. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it tells us that the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. What's that sword do? It says, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. Right? The soul and spirit to us is a confusing area. I found it when I started studying, it's not always clear what is soul and what is spirit. It's quite confusing. I looked in the dictionary. Are you all right there? You happy there?
Yeah.
Right. Don't look worried, you're all right. It's often confusing. The dictionary doesn't clear matters up because they sort of overlap the spirit and the soul. The dictionary does it. I looked in the Oxford Dictionary now, and the Oxford Dictionary for soul, it's not bad. It says the spiritual or immaterial part of human beings or animals. So that's not a bad definition. And the spirit, it said, the intelligent, non-physical part of a person. And then it says, the soul. No, we're just talking about the spirit. Why is it saying the soul? So, when I looked at the actual words that are in the Bible for soul and spirit, soul, I'm not quite sure how you pronounce it, it's psuche. And it says, that immaterial part of a man held in common with animals. Now, that's very close to the definition that the dictionary is giving. When you come to spirit, now the word spirit is pneumo, you know, pneumonia to the word breathing. It's pneumo, that's where we get the pneumonia from, the word from. It says, the rational spirit, mind, element of life, generally spirit, distinct from the body and soul. So the Bible's telling us it's different, it's got its separate identity. These computers are good things sometimes because you can find things on a computer. Watchman Nee. I don't know if you've heard Grace quote from Watchman Nee. He's a man of God over many years. And he was talking about the soul, and it says, many do not understand the soul life. Simply put, the soul life is what we call the self life. This is the selfish part of us. This is the part that reacts, that has hatred, it has all the emotions, it has all sorts of things. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's out of line with God. It doesn't mean to say because it's the soul, it's contrary to God. The soul can fit in very well with God's plan. But sometimes our own emotions, our natures can take us on a different tangent. But I found another reference. Derek Prince, has anybody heard of Derek Prince? Some of you will have. I found his definition a lot clearer. The spirit of man comes directly from God and relates directly to God. Right? The spirit of man, that's me, my spirit, comes directly from God and relates directly to God. This is the two-way communication. This is where we should be.
Yeah.
My spirit talking to God, God talking to me through my spirit. This is the first key connection. This should be everything in my life. You know when they say pray without ceasing? That line should always be open, whether I'm working, whether I'm playing, no matter what I'm doing, that line, because God might want to talk to me at any time. I might want to talk to God at any time. Now God tells me the line is always open to Him. Yeah. I can sometimes separate myself off through doing something wrong. We call it sin. I can cut that line off from my perspective of talking to Him. Yeah. But He will always talk to me. He says, God moved upon man's spirit. His spirit moved upon his soul and his soul directed. This is talking the procedure now. This is God's plan. It says, in the original pattern of creation. This is the original pattern. God moving on man's spirit. Man's spirit then moving on his soul. Man's soul then dictating what happens in the body. That's God's order. That's God's original order. That's how He does it. That's the plan. But something happened. Man rebelled. And man is rebelling today. We get in lives that are so soulish, so filled with this being the prime mover, that we've lost sight of the Spirit, of God's Spirit coming in and actually telling us what we need to know. Yeah. Sometimes we'll shut Him off. It's like we close the door on our own spirit. So we set the Spirit on one side and the soulish man takes over. Now the soulish man's so imperfect. We call the natural man. It's called a number of things in the Word of God. For soul, you don't always get the same word all through the Bible. The interpretation into the English language is faltering in some respects. So the soul took over control. It says, man is controlled by the three functions of his soul. This is still Derek Prince I'm quoting here. It says, the will, the intellect and the emotions. The will, the intellect and the emotions. Number one, I will. Right? That's I want, I will. That's the soul. The intellect, the mind. I'll work it all out myself. I'll do it myself. I'll work it all out. I'll do it under my own strength. That again is the soul. And the emotions. Well, the emotions can take us on a real roller coaster. It can take us up to the mountain tops and down to the valley. It can take us to love. It can take us to hate. This is the roller coaster that's the soul. So it can be all over the place. It says, "You all right?" Yeah. I had to got your chairs, didn't I? All right. It says, when God reconciles man to Himself, His purpose is to restore the original order. Reconciling to God. This is when you give your heart to the Lord. Reconciling to God. When you come to Jesus, this is reconciliation. This is bringing back the right order. Oh, you're not be sat here much longer. Go on. That's it. I tell you, when I were their age, you wouldn't have got me out to the front at all. No way. No way. We're just blessed to have them. They're so willing. You know, even though they don't know what they're letting themselves in for. But you see, when God restores the order, He restores things to His perfect way. He doesn't want the soul running out of control. He doesn't want that. He wants the spirit to have the first information of what they should do, how we should be, who we should be. That's the first thing. And then the Spirit receives that information from God. And then the Spirit decides what's happening in the soul area. The soul wants to do its own thing, but the Spirit needs to have first call. The Spirit needs to tell the soul. You know, there's an interesting one in the Old Testament, the Psalms, and it's something that it's difficult to understand. But David talked to his soul. Where was he talking from? Well, he was talking from his spirit. He said from his spirit, he says, "Soul, why are you downcast? Why are you downcast?" And he tells his soul, he says, "Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God." And you know, and he says that about three times in the Psalm 42, verse 5, 42:11, and 43:5. He says the same thing three times there. He's speaking to his soul. Why? Why is this happening? Because David had found that his soul was taking over. He was taking over. He needed to reestablish control. Or God's control over his life. And the way to do it was for him to talk from his spirit to his soul. To confirm and establish the order of priority that God wants. And God wants that priority in our life. It tells us in John chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "But now it is coming, and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth." How can you worship in spirit and truth if you worship him from the soul area? You're bypassing the spirit. You've got to identify your own spirit. You've got to identify who you are. Because that is the key link to God. And it's also the policing area of your life. Because nothing will get through to the soul except through God's channel. That's how it will come. When the soul decides he wants to do what it likes, and we all get to that point sometimes, we want our soul, we want what we want, which is not always the right thing. So we need the Spirit's guidance to tell us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. The soul can override the spirit. It's our decision which we choose. God's never given up on our free will. He's maintained like that. That is a treasure to God. That free will of ours is a treasure to God. And it's important that we value that free will. But it gives us a choice to make. Every day, every moment of every day, it's a choice that we make. Excuse me. There's a lot in this day and age that have lost this, that they don't understand this that's happening in their own lives. Whether they've come to God or not, they still have a spiritual side to their life. They have a spiritual identity. Sometimes they'll close it off and try and live as if it doesn't exist. But you can see from what happens quite often in the entertainment industry, you've got so many things that are published in the entertainment industry to do with the spiritual side of life. And the occultist things, all sorts of things. That's the spiritual side. And the spirit can try and lock into things that are wrong. You see, it says there's principalities and powers exist. And the only way we can rightly define and identify those is to have the right connection with God in our spirit. There's a little quote on Derek Prince. It says, as long as man remains in submission to God and his soul remains in submission to his spirit, I'm going to read this again. And it says, man functions in harmony with God and himself. So it says, as long as man remains in submission to God, maintaining that connection with the Father. And it's not that you're living perfectly in the natural. It's not that. It's an established connection that God will never, ever let us go. And he's our first port of call in every situation, and should be. So first of all, we submit to God. And our soul remains in submission to our spirit. Our soul, my soul, remains in submission to my spirit. And he said, when I've got that connection right, I'm in harmony with God and with myself. If my soul is in command of me, I'm out of balance.
Yeah.
Things are going to go wrong.
Yeah.
Because I'll make wrong choices, wrong decisions.
Yeah.
I'll think wrong and I'll do wrong. Because I haven't got all the information to make decisions. I might think I have sometimes, but I haven't. The one with all the information to make the right decision is God.
Yeah.
He's the one that I need to come to and I need to get my information from.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get it through my own intellect. I can't get it through my own emotions.
Right.
I can't get it through my own appetites.
Yeah.
Because they all go haywire. They're all self-centered. And I can't see the bigger picture. And, you know, all this is going off in us as individuals. Nobody else knows what is happening in my life, in your life. They might see the soulless side. I can put on a good performance. I can tell people from my soulless side that I know all the right things to say. I've got it all sussed out. I'm religious and all that. But from the soulless side, that doesn't make a connection. That doesn't wash with God. God wants to see my identity through my spirit.
Yeah.
That's how he wants to see my identity. What you might see is different to what God sees. And we see this in different people in different situations. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, this is another scripture for you to note. It says, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Nobody knows the thoughts of a man except his own spirit. And your own spirit will tell you sometimes when things are wrong. It depends if the natural man or the soul is going to win out against the spirit. One Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 says, but a natural man, now this is where this word soul again, natural man, if you interpret it in that, you mean soulish. I can't understand why soulish isn't in the dictionary, but I've looked in the Oxford Dictionary and the Cambridge Dictionary, and they're not in there. The word soulish isn't in. Soul is, obviously, but soulish isn't. It says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. See, the natural man, especially if they've cut themselves off from the work of their own spirit, can't understand the Spirit. They can't understand the Spirit of God. He says, because the foolishness to him. And it says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Why? Because he's looking from the natural. He's looking from that part of him. He says, they are foolishness to him and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned or appraised. They're spiritually identified. That's where the assurance comes from for your salvation, for your life in Christ, from your spirit. Sometimes the spirit and the soul will argue. Paul puts arguments that he's gone through. You know, where am I? What's going on with my nature? I've got this battle going on. And the two natures. And it's this between the spirit and the natural, between the spirit and the soul. And it says, the body without the spirit is dead. That's in James chapter 2, verse 26. We studied that the other week. We went through that. The body without the spirit is dead. So, I'm the body. Without the spirit, I'm dead. I've still got the soul. I'm still there. But I'm spiritually dead. Because I've cut myself off from my spirit. I'm living in the natural. I might have some intellect that says, oh, things are going all right and this and other. But really, it's the deep inside part of me. Without my spirit, I'm lost. Because that's my connection to my Saviour, to my Creator. Yeah, well, when you think, it is really mind-blowing, really. This is my connection to my Creator, the one who made me. And God is spirit. He's the spirit talking to me through my spirit. And when he says, when we die, you know, we're not going to be disembodied individuals without a body. He says, what is it? The mortal shall put on immortality. The corruption, you know, put on incorruption. We have a new body. No, we can't understand really what's, you know, but it's God's word says. That's where we're going, that's what's going to happen. Are you too happy there? You all right? Are you listening? Good. So we have a choice. The prime mover in my life, it's got to be this. It's got to be my spirit. To be honest, I must drift between the two at times. I get into the soulish things and I'm trying to do things under my own self. I'm trying to sort things out in my own mind. Worry and fear and all that comes from the emotions. It's in this area. But when I've trusted God, trusted Him with the impossible, how can, you know, I say, God, how can you make it possible, this impossible situation? And somehow He does. Not in a way that my soul understands, because I've worked it all out, tried to work it out. But God's got it all in hand. And because I've got the connection, the link direct to Him, as well as me speaking to Him, the questions, He gives me the answers. And I then have to bring my soul into life. And bring my body into line. See, it's not being pious, it's not being religious. It's relationship. It's relationship. We're not perfect individuals, we know that. He said if you go to if you find a perfect church, don't go there, you'll spoil it. We're imperfect. We work in progress. But God has established this means of connection for our benefit. He knows that we have limited abilities. We have limited control over our own emotions. But through the Spirit, He's able to guide our emotions. He's able to guide what we do and where we go in. So we have this constant connection. The Spirit is the prime mover. Through that, we navigate through life. But if you're out of sync, if the soul is your only mover, your prime mover and everything else, then you need to re-establish God's order. Because God's order will bring you health and peace. What does it say here? Harmony with God and yourself. That's where the strength and the power comes in. Because while ever we're doing our own thing, we're adrift. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 16 says, "Therefore do not lose heart, even though our outer man is decaying, even though our body is decaying." I'm now middle-aged. I'm middle-aged. You're middle-aged. Don't laugh. But it says, "Though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." What does it mean by inner man? It doesn't mean the soul. It means the spirit. My spirit. Who I am, who I really am, is being renewed. You know, when Ernie Anderson came, and is he in the 80s, is he? And he's bouncing about. It wasn't just the physical bouncing. He's bouncing in his spirit. You could see it. You know, it shone out of him.
Yeah.
He's in his 80s.
Yeah.
And he's had a long career.
Yeah.
He was Battersea Bible College principal for a while, and he's pastored churches and what have you. So the inner man gets renewed day by day. I've sort of finished now. I'll leave you to ponder it all, but just one scripture to finish off. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It says, "May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete."
Amen.
Complete. They used to sing a song based on the scripture, I think. "Complete in him. I am complete in him." Just if we can get the order right. And we need to be telling people out there as well. Because they only think in terms of the soulish side. They must have a sense of bewilderment and loss when they haven't got their spiritual side in order. It must be so confusing. Because they have no reason, underlying reason for living, really. The sense of purpose and everything else. But God's got a purpose for you and me. And His purpose comes through His Spirit into our spirit and gives us direction. It's not just one thing we have to do in life. You know, if you could look at the things that are running in your life now, there'll be multiple levels of things happening. Short term, long term, medium term. Things to do with one person, another person, another person. All sorts of things happening. And they're all on different time scales. But you have to be there. Have you ever had the situation where you've just been at the right place at the right time for somebody else? Or somebody else has just been there at the right time for you. God appointment. You said a God appointment. Because people have listened through the Spirit to what God wanted them to do and to be at a time and a place. Because God loves us. He loves you and He loves me. And He's given us so much. You know, when we come and break bread, and I've said it before, that we make a special connection then when we meet with God. And just for that moment, it's something that He specifically asked us to do in remembrance of Him, and just come and break bread. We can come and take the bread, we can come and drink the wine. And we can do it from this area, the soul area. But that's not what God wants. God wants that special connection at that time. Spirit to spirit. Spirit to spirit. It's so wonderful that our Creator wants such a relationship with us individually. Absolutely mind-boggling that He should want that with us, but He does. And His Word tells us over and over again about it and how to eat it. And it's so often we'll look at this word Spirit and we'll not quite get hold of it. And I just thought that perhaps today this might have just given us that bit of a, like a word picture, just to help us just to connect with how, because it's not about anybody else. It's about me and God. It's about you and God. You can paint any sort of picture with anybody else, but you need to come to God yourself and just establish that link in your spirit with Him. And God will start to move in your life. And He probably already is. But we need to keep that link strong with Him, that relationship strong with Him. And He will bless you. He will guide you. And He will minister to you. He might make you do unexpected things, like near and dear had to do. But thank you very much, you two. You've been very patient. I just praise God that we've got them amongst us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I hope that's helped you, encouraged you, and helped you to understand a little bit more about where we are in God. Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Says this: "And the Lord God formed man from the dust." We're dust. "He formed man from the dust of the ground. And then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." Amen. We're alive because of the breath of the Spirit of God. We live and breathe and move because of the Spirit of God in you and in me. It's that that gives us a quickening life. Praise God. Amen. Are you alive? Amen. Praise the Lord.